The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike. 97.5. We live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2-6, Mikey Miss. 97.5. No matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him. But never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fade away from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that lightsaber caught him. Top shelf, A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. Here he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk author Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli. Yeah. Mike Missinelli.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. It's a Football Friday on the Mike Missinelli Show, and a Football Friday where not many people are interested in talking about football. I never thought I'd get to that point with this season once it started up. Beside the fact that we have all these COVID considerations, and COVID is going to affect this game as well, it just doesn't seem that anybody is interested. And I'm wondering if that's a bigger thing than people not being interested in just the Eagles because of where they are right now. It probably is just about the Eagles. But, you know, I'm looking at I was reading a story about the Masters and how nobody watched it. And I'm going, I just don't think that people at this particular point are that engaged in sports. Now, I could be wrong, but this is why we like to have these kind of sessions on a radio show where you can tell us how you feel about that, because there's a couple theories here with the Eagles. Either you're like just wrung out that they're not good, which is a legitimate reason for you to be unplugged. They're not good. What's the ups? What's the best they could possibly do? Well, the best they could possibly do is survive a division and get in the playoffs. Now, a couple weeks ago, we thought that was a big thing. Now it was the Giants, and there's going to be at least three more losses in their next several games. And you're going to go, okay, how engaged can I really be? And I know the people here. You don't like to get engaged because you don't like at the end to look silly. Very protective fan base, Philadelphia fan base is. So I get it why you wouldn't totally invest in this. But I wanted like the state overall. We get the NBA generated some excitement. They're going to start. They're going to start a season that's going to be a really protected season. And we did address this already. When during the regular season, we had Rich Hoffman on, and he says, I think we're going to see some pretty bad basketball. And so when that season goes on, we won't be engaged until the same playoff situation happens for us in whatever form it happens. And it's just a damn shame right now. And so, like, if we make this a Football Friday, I also want to make this a COVID review on how this is really impacting your life right now and what things you have to say about it as far as adhering to guidelines, as far as how it's affected your life differently. You know, we'll have that kind of a large session because it's affecting everybody's life. The schooling situation is just terrible. People don't know what to do with this whole thing. And so all these outside pressures, I think, are weighing on our sports joy, for lack of a better word. I don't know. Do you guys feel that?
I think it more has to do with when things are out of season. When things are out of session at weird times, I don't think people tune in.
So that's with the Masters. With out of session, we're plugged in for the springtime azalea thing that usually the Masters brings.
Yeah, it threw it off. I think that affected the NBA and the NHL, and that's why it was so important for them to start when they're starting, because they want to get back on schedule when people are used to watching. The reason I say that is NFL started on time this year, Sunday Night Football, 11.245 million. Last year, 11.267 million. That's flat. Mm-hmm. Football's on when football's supposed to be on. Therefore, people watch it. I think it had more to do with things being out of cycle because people aren't looking for the Masters. Golf is still a niche game. It's not one of the top four.
Yeah.
The Masters is a tournament that gets the casuals. The casuals don't know it's on. And it was on up against football. So there was just no way people were going to watch it. In the summertime, people do other stuff. People weren't ready to watch the NBA and the NHL in that same way because it was the summertime. I think COVID has affected a bunch of stuff, but I think it mostly has damaged the scheduling of sports, and that really killed the ratings, in my opinion.
All right. It is disjointed because every week we get a different report and quarantines and all this kind of stuff. So if we center it on the Eagles, now, listen, God, thank God for the Sixers this week. Because they generated some conversation. The Eagles aren't generating any conversation or very small conversation. And I wonder if that's because people just, you know, I remember some bleak years where people were disengaged and it was a miserable when, you know, can they win three games type of situation with all the bad head coaches that they had before Andy Reid came on the scene. I remember those days wisely or readily. And so right now I think that people look at this situation and go, we have a team that's not good. And I can no longer invest in a team that's no good because we saw how a team could be good. We won a Super Bowl. And so now we have that standard. It's like, this is so far away from that standard that I think people have gotten weary of it.
I feel like because of this year and because of how bad the team has been, it kind of makes it that much worse because the team's supposed to be an outlet. And the fact that, like, the world has, you know, changed so dramatically over the last year and now you tune into your football team that's supposed to bring you joy and it's been dreck. It kind of makes it worse. It makes it worse for the year.
And every week, we're on the two entities that bother us the most, the coaching and the quarterback. And the theme never changes. It's like attack here, attack there. Fans just, they just don't know how to act with this. That same old theme comes up every single week, and it kind of beats you down. So, like today, I don't know, so I'm going to leave it up to you. I can't push generating interest in a team that you have no interest in. Or a weekend you had no interest in. Or the upcoming schedule that you look at and go, well, my God, I just have to get through these 4 weeks because they're going to get pounded in a couple of these games. So they play Cleveland. It's turned into a must-win situation in a lot of ways because of what they did last week. And we looked at the game last week and said, all right, that's got to be a win. And this Cleveland game is one they got to win. They get to 7 wins, and we're going to be okay with that. We don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender. Well, at least 7 wins. There's been teams in the playoffs that made it with 7 wins, and the Eagles will get in at least, and you'll have another week to hang out and watch Eagle football.
Yeah, also I think that I think COVID's beating the fight out of some of these fans because we fooled ourselves before, though. And fans aren't even trying to fool themselves as they have in the past.
Yeah.
And I think some of that's COVID related because this team's not good. This team is far from good. There have been fans that have fooled themselves into liking worse teams than this in this city. Like, I remember them being fooled into some co-tight teams might do something. Like, I've seen Tommy Hutton dropping a ball. I've seen some bad teams. In my lifetime.
Tommy Hutton.
Yeah, there's been a lot of bad football in this city. Unfortunately, more bad than good overall. From Andy Reid on, it's been pretty decent for the most part. But I think that the COVID has not allowed, to Natalie's point, it's now you're looking for, I bet you in Pittsburgh, out there in Allegheny County, they're probably feeling great. Because at least they know that team wins every week for 3 hours and change. They have a break from all that stuff.
Yes.
The Eagles provide no break. And normally, we can live with that because you can go outside. You go to a bar. You go do something. When you can't do anything, it's now a chore to watch this bad football team. While the other teams, it was a pain, but you could turn it off and go do something. Now you're stuck.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Now, you're right. Life is exhausting right now.
Yes.
Right. And so you got enough to deal with that. And, you know, we thought it's funny because in an election year, we thought, okay, we'll all lead up to the election and then we can breathe easy because some things will be decided. It's got more angst-ridden post-election.
Even as of Monday, anybody, you know, my friends, my family, anybody that I talk to, everybody just kind of feels like there's this big weight, you know, still on them.
Yeah, it's like Thanksgiving's coming up and we're warned not to get together for Thanksgiving. And then Rudy Giuliani has hair dye running down his face. And it's like it's in your face every night. The angst of this whole process is in your face. You can't get any answers on COVID because the president won't give you answers. And so everybody's dealing with this guy. I don't know where to turn.
And the Eagles had an opportunity. And this is where the Sixers now, because the Eagles have forfeited their chance. We're done. I mean, people are going to watch it. Maybe if they can win this week and somehow, by some miracle, beat Seattle, people will trick themselves to getting back in. I don't think that's going to happen. But for now, the Eagles have forfeited their chance. Now it'll be the Sixers' chance, because we're close to camp already with the Sixers. They start playing on the 22nd. If the Sixers can start off 3-0, maybe. Now they'll switch, and now they're the outlet. Like, it's an opportunity for really to grab this whole city right now that the Eagles have just said, forget all that. You go suffer. If the Sixers, and then when the Flyers finally start, I guess in January, they'll have a chance to grab their people, and maybe they can expand their people because everyone loves a winner.
Yeah.
And then the Phillies probably have also forfeited already their chance.
Yeah.
So it might be Sixers, Flyers, or bust.
All right. So listen. You know, it's a football Friday, and I could sit here and analyze this game and go back and forth, but I don't know if that would be that interesting. If you want to deal with it, that's fine. We can talk about the game. We can talk about the matchups. The Cleveland Browns got hurt a little bit with the Myles Garrett not being able to play with this positive COVID test, so that helps the Eagles, I guess. And I look at the game and I go, okay, the Eagles haven't stopped the run. This team runs the football. That doesn't look good on that score. But, you know, Cleveland's just a small favorite in the game. So maybe the Eagles can win this game. Who knows? I have no idea. I don't know how to call it. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll call it nice and comfortably early. 28-20. It would be 28-21, but Doug decided to go for two and they failed. Only so now they lose.
Oh, so
by
you
eight.
Got them losing
28-20.
No question in your mind.
I think it'll be the Eagles might even have the ball late, and I just have a feeling that Alshon, I think, is going to play half decent.
Yeah.
And I think on a third down, big third down, Wentz is going to go to Alshon across the middle, and I think Alshon's going to alligator arm it. And then after the game, you're going to hear about how the quarterback stinks. This is what I think happens.
This is a lot of detail.
I had a dream, a vision. Across the middle, 3rd and 8, he's 9 yards, hits him right in the chest and falls, and it'll be because the timing from the quarterback was bad, and his practice habits and all that will flare up going into Seattle.
You know, the tragedy of this whole thing is, Sunday, you usually look forward to the Sunday 1 o'clock, right? Yeah, at least you got a game. It's savage the weekend. You do whatever you need to do Saturday. You wake up, do through the process. You're excited. There's a game. I don't sense anybody's excited. And I'm not either. I'm not excited. I love a football Sunday usually.
It's a chore.
Now it's like, all right, I got
to
watch it.
It's a chore to watch this.
It really is.
It's a chore. It's like, honestly, I don't know. I would half watch if it wasn't my job.
I feel the same way. We got to be engaged on every play. And a lot of people to watch it can get up and make themselves a salad or whatever.
Yeah.
sit there and watch it.
I'm going to go to the liquor store real back. Exactly. I'll get something. Come back. I have to say,
it has been therapeutic to take all my anger, you know, from 2020 out on Sundays at the television.
Yeah, see, I don't take any anger. I'm like a tenderized steak. I don't have the reaction anymore of anger. I think it was all taken out of me last week. I got that anger. I was tweeting up craziness. And then I just go, I guess I'm beaten down by this team. Like, I'm trying to pull some kind of sweet juice out of a sour plant.
Yeah. It's tough.
All right. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It is a Football Friday. Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock, and we'll bounce around. We'll have a lot of little interesting things to talk about that are kind of off the field. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 VAC, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. What is this song?
I Want Candy.
I Want Candy.
Yeah.
4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Well, it's Friday, Football Friday. Special time, 4 o'clock. We bring in the great number 36 for his assessment of the landscape of Philadelphia Eagle football. Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Landis Block. Your jaw-dropping outdoor backyard paradise is online at LandisBC.com. Hello, B. West.
Good afternoon, Mikey. Miss, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, I was thinking of it the other day. In fact, I texted Tyrone after the Detroit Pistons took Sadiq Bey. And it came out that his GPA at Villanova was 3.88, which I'm assuming was just a little less than yours.
Well, I'm a 4.0 student, and as you know, that's just how I get down. I'm a 4.0 student, yes. But
that's
I'm
not surprised.
I'm not surprised that Jay Wright is putting out smart scholar athletes. That's what it's all about there at Villanova. Sadiq Bey will have a good career out there in Detroit.
Yeah, well. Congratulations to Sadiq for almost getting the Westbrook's GPA at Villanova.
Right, they have the best tutors in the country over at Villanova.
Yeah, I guess they do. All right, let's talk about this this Eagle football team. And you know, Brian, I don't know where the interest level is for the fan base. I don't know what they are right now. They had to win last week against that team. Now the schedule gets tougher. But I don't really know what the Cleveland Browns are. So what kind of chance the Eagles have in the state they're in right now, and what state are they in?
Well, Mike, you know what the Cleveland Browns are. I mean, they are a team that wants to run the football, smash mouth down your throat, and if they cannot do that, then it comes down to Baker Mayfield and his ability to control an offense, control the football, not throw the ball to the other team. They won't have Myles Garrett, so you have to assume their defense is not as good. The question is this, and this is, you know, and I'm not the first person to mention this. The question is, can they find a way to make Baker Mayfield have to win the football game? That means offensively, you got to score fast and early, and the weather may not work with you there. And our offense hasn't seemed like a team that can score fast, early, and often. And defensively, you got to find a way to put a stop to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And, you know, we've had a lot of situations these last few weeks to stop run games, and we just haven't been able to do a very good job of that either. So we're in a bit of trouble based upon what the Cleveland Browns have been able to do. But is it a game where you can say, and here's the hard part, and this is what I'm about to say makes me sound crazy and feel crazy saying it. The hard part of watching our football team is that it's been inconsistent, but there has been games where we've been good. There's been games where Carson had just played well, made big splash plays, which we haven't seen in a long time. We're going to need those types of plays to win this football game. And if we don't, then, of course, we will have that loser mentality like we deserve if we go out there and lose.
All right. They haven't stopped the run. That's what Cleveland does. And, in fact, they run it on first down almost exclusively. 22-5, the run-pass ratio against Houston last week. 60% of the time they run it on first down. That's the highest rate in the league. So I assume that with the rain, that's going to even be more intensified. And then in play action, he's been pretty good. They're the 10th-ranked offense with play action because of the efficiency of the running game. So how do you defend this?
Well, you stack the box. Again, you do anything you can to sell out to stop the run. You mentioned it. The weather is going to play a factor. And so if we get beat by Baker Mayfield, then we get beat by Baker Mayfield. The two people that we can't get beat by is the running back. So me, if I'm Jim Schwartz, I'm run blitzing, meaning I'm trying to get 8 guys in the box, and I'm trying to cover up every single run lane so that they would have to be forced to at some point throw the football. And again, you got to pick your poison against a team like this, especially a team that is heavy run. At that point, I'm just taking my chances on getting beat by Baker Mayfield. And at that point, it's a duel between Baker Mayfield and Carson Wentz. And in my mind, I think Carson Wentz is a better quarterback, even though we haven't seen glaring evidence of that here recently this season.
All right, the COVID situation and how it might impact Arthega Whiteside out, but then it seems like Hightower and the other guy.
Well, Hightower, he was illness unrelated. It's a Clement and Vinny Curry.
But then wasn't there the other wide receiver?
They put him on the practice squad.
Okay.
Burnett's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
It's really those two are the main, in addition to Ortega-Whiteside.
Okay. So they're a little weakened, but that means that Alshon Jeffery obviously will get more snaps probably in this game.
No, I mean, where is he taking? Who is he taking snaps from? Taking snaps from Ortega-Whiteside. He wasn't going to play.
No, you're right. But they did start him last week, and I assume that they want to use him a little more in this game.
Yeah, I think he'll probably play a little bit more. And last week it was weird because goodness gracious, I'm drawing a blank now. My mind is all over the place. You start him, and then you say, well, you don't throw him the football, Alshon Jeffery.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you throw him the ball? Why don't you get as many targets if you're going to start him? Or you continue, here's the other way that you could have done, you continue with the rotation that you have with Fulgham, and then you allow Alshon to come in periodically, a play here and a play there. I would have done it that route. But, again, it doesn't really matter who you have out there at the wide receiver position if you're not going to get any splash plays. At some point, you got to take some shots down the field. Our offense is not good enough to drive 90 yards every single possession and score. And the reason why you're driving 90 yards is because you refuse to field a punt. So, I mean, at that point, it's just hard to win. It's hard to score in those types of games. That's why you need your special teams to play a big part. And, you know, so, yeah, I don't know that Alshon, having another week on the field, having another week in practice, certainly should lend himself to being a better player. But, again, you're coming off a Liz Frank type of injury, and it's going to be sloppy and raining out there. I don't know that that's the best place that I would want and be looking for Alshon to help us very much.
All right, here's a stat that I want to throw at you as far as the underneath throws. Because it looks the Cleveland defense, 29th in the league, yards per attempt on check down type throws. That's the throws within 5 yards within the line of scrimmage. And the Browns have also allowed 15 touchdown passes on passes between the numbers. No other team has allowed more than 10. So they are vulnerable to that type of thing. It seems like this would be a fairly easy type of game plan. Offensively, at least.
Well, offensively, yeah. I mean, don't turn the football over, but the weather's going to play in part in that. And offensively, what has been easy for us here these last few games? Running the football, I just went back and watched the game again, and I can only ask, why isn't Miles Sanders touching it more? I mean, he's just running the ball up and down the field, and he actually looks much better than he ever has as far as any offense. And, of course, that's because he's fresh, but you know, you want to run the football. You want to use some play action, similar to the same thing to what the Cleveland Browns want to do. They want to run the ball and use play action. Why don't we just try to do that? To me, it would be very simple to do that, and you know, it's just not – that's not Doug's way.
Yeah.
That's just not how he runs his football team.
Well, all right. So last thing before we go back to the phones is Jalen Reagor, and you're talking about special teams. He really didn't equip himself very well back there and seemed a little bit nervous or scared or not certainly assertive. Do you stay with him?
Yeah, you stay with him. I mean, I think he's going to help you at some point. The hard part up there in that stadium is that you get some wind swirls, and it's late in the returns, and there's really no excuse to not field some of those balls because you go out there in pregame and before – at the halftime and try to catch a couple balls to get used to it. So, I mean, as a young guy, it takes some time to get used to it. He has to do a much better job. If the ball is bouncing at the 10, he should be fielding it. Anything in front of the 10, he should be fielding it. And there were just a couple of times in that game where it might have been Greg Ward, too, where they were not fielding balls that they certainly should have been fielding. And it put your offense in a bad starting position.
All right, let's go to phones, and we can climb in with Brian Westbrook at 610-622-0975. There's one line open. Let's go to Tom in Philadelphia. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Tom, hi, Mike.
What's up, buddy?
Brian, your biggest fan here, fellow Villanova alum. I gave you the 1,000-yard shout-out and also the 420-yard game against Pitt. One more L for your quiver, Brian, and that is that you're the only college player to ever to get 9,500 plus total yards at any level. So that's another L for your quiver there. Don't let Ty talk you down on that.
Yeah, Tom, you brought that up three different times.
Not the 9,500.
Oh, that was a new stat?
That's the new stat. Brand new.
Yeah.
Anyway, with the Eagles now. With the Eagles. Come on, Mike. The line has to be telling you something here. This line is dropping, and I'm picking the Eagles 27-20. And I...
Where's the line dropping? It's what is it? Still 3.5.
It started at 3.5.
What
it's
is
at
it?
Three now. It'll
be 3. Dropped a half a point.
Yeah, well, it's good. You already pointed out that 84% of the money's on the.
Yeah, I think it's foolish money, but that's whatever.
My foolish money is going to be there.
Okay.
Brian stole my thunder on this, and that is that you do stack up there. You put everything into stopping the run, and you make Baker Mayfield beat you. He's not all that. He's below Wentz right now on quarterback ratings. You run the ball more. You give Mills at least 20 rushes, at least 20, and you let Wentz loose. You don't keep him in the pocket. You roll him out with protection, and you let him loose when he does throw the ball. I think if they put those things all together, they have a very good chance of winning this game by a touchdown.
All right, you're very optimistic, Tom. I am not. I'm sorry.
By the way, we
just have some news here. Press Taylor, who's quarterback coach, wide receiver coach, Aaron Moorhead, will not make the trip, obviously, of COVID.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so they won't make the trip. I don't know if that changes Tom's mind or not. Tom's all about you, man.
Tom's
a big fan. He's Villanova pride he carries with him with you.
Nothing wrong with a little Villanova pride. I mean, listen, Villanova is a big part of who I am and certainly a big part of what Philadelphia is as well. Nothing wrong with a little Villanova pride. I wish Tyrone – you know, I wish – this is what I actually wish. I wish Tyrone had the grades in high school to be able to get into Villanova. Because when we received his application, we just threw that out immediately. We didn't even take the time to look at it.
It really had to do with the application. See, this Brian, throwing around. They cut the check to Brian. If they had to cut the check to me, I'd have went to Villanova. They didn't cut the check. So that's the bottom line. Just because they didn't cut the check, that's the reason. Yeah. I actually had a football question related, though, to what you just said, Mike, about the position coaches. Brian, when you were playing, how much did you interact with your position coach on the actual game day?
You know, we had a really good position coach, and he kind of felt, you know, time the game day came, the hay was already in the barn. So unless there was something, a blitz pickup or something like that, he wanted to kind of get with us about. He wasn't standing over top of us, you know, on the sideline saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. He felt like, hey, man, we taught you all week long. I can't teach you how to run and cut and what you feel out there as a runner, but I can tell you if there's a blitz pickup that you missed or something that they're throwing at you that you're not seeing, he can teach us up there a little bit. And so that's where your position coaches help you a lot, especially on the sideline.
Yeah, the reason I asked is you got Fogum, who's young, Rager, who's mm-hmm. young. Ward is still, I don't know if he's not really he's the most veteran guy because we don't count Alshon. I'm just wondering if those guys might need a little bit extra on a game day compared to you who was, you know, more seasoned. Then you had Deuce Staley in front of you and all that.
Well, I'll tell you, this is where your quarterback, who's a veteran, this is where Alshon, who is a veteran, who's been around the league for a very long time, can help these young receivers. And listen, we can say what we want about Alshon. But he has been productive in the NFL before. And I think that he has been a mentor, especially to Jalen Rager, someone that he looks up to. And I think he can help these guys, especially in a situation that when your receiver coach may not be there. I wouldn't have any problem at all trusting Alshon to put these guys in the right position or at least letting them know, this is the type of coverage that we're facing. Maybe you should try to this type of release. Maybe you should try to find this type of hole in the zone coverage as well. But listen, Ty, here's the thing. I don't know how much throwing the football or the big plays down the field we're going to get due to the weather this weekend. And so, you know, I wonder the running impact. Are we getting our big boy pads ready for our offensive line? Mentally, is Doug thinking, you know, we have to make sure that we have enough run plays queued up so that we can get Miles Sanders going, we can get Boston Scott going, and we don't have to depend as much on our passing game due to the weather just a bit. If I'm Doug Peterson, those are the things that I have to be thinking based on the weather forecast.
All right. Tom brought up your exploits of Villanova. You were a big hero. I was just thinking in my head where you would rank all time as a Villanova athlete. I got you third all time.
That hurts.
Well, I mean,
who do you have?
I got Paul Arizin is an NBA Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're going cool. going back.
Yeah, I had to go back for that? Paul Arizin. Well, he's a Villanova guy. He's in the NBA Hall of Fame. What am I doing? Ignore it.
Okay. I say who?
Howie Long. Is Howie Long in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he's Hall of Fame. Yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with your Hall of Fame aspirations, but I got you solid third behind two Hall of Famers.
I got a question. There's another guy who was talked about as a Hall of Famer just last year in the bubble.
Who's that?
That Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, I got him on the list, but here's where...
If he gets to the Hall of Fame, does he pass Brian if he becomes a Hall of Famer?
So Kyle does have a ring.
And I will say, Brian in the NFL in his prime had Hall of Fame numbers. They just weren't for the... And that's me admitting it. They just weren't for as long a time as other Hall of Famers.
If Lowry gets to the Hall of Fame, he passes B. West.
Okay.
Because I can't ignore Hall of Famers
and a ring.
Right now you're solid third.
That's
now,
pretty good.
Now there are three other guys that would vie right now for the final two positions.
All right,
and Lowry's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Howard Porter, the great Villanova basketball player way back in the day, yeah. And Kerry Kittles.
Kittles was nice. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
But you're solid third right now.
So I'm just going to tell you right now, Mike, based on your list. I'm number two. I don't know who the number one guy was because he's way before my time. So I'm just going to ignore him because he was in your graduating class. So I'm just going to ignore him.
He played in the NBA for the Philadelphia Warriors.
Yeah, that's my point.
He played with Wilt.
I keep trying to tell you. This is exactly my point. I have no clue who he is. He deserves some credit, but in this discussion, he's just not on the list.
All right, take him out. Now, it's hard to take a Hall of Famer out, but if to cater to your whims, I'll make it two. All right, behind Howie Long. Is that fair?
Howie Long certainly deserves to be up there. If Kyle Lowry gets into the Hall of Fame, he deserves to be up there. And Kerry Kittles, I mean, how can you argue with that, what Kerry Kittles was able to do in college? And so, yeah, I mean, I can understand that. As long as I'm in the top five, as long as when my kids are old enough to understand things, I'm still in the top five, I'm okay.
You're the modern day two if I take Arizin out.
I appreciate that. That makes me feel better now.
And if I put him in, since he's a Hall of Famer, you only dropped to three.
I'll tell you this, too.
Yes.
Howie Long played for Villanova before they dropped the football program. So if you just start from that point on.
Oh, when they renewed the football program.
You were
the beacon of light for the restart of the Villanova football program.
I'm wiggling my way up the list.
If you do that, then Lowry has to go one because Nova. Wow. No, here's why. Nova plays at a higher level for basketball than they do football. They do. And then Lowry ends up being a first round pick playing at a higher level and then a Hall of Fame career. So there's no way he's one.
Well, here's the other factor. Because Lowry only was there. Lowry was only there for 2 years. Westbrook spent, 6 years on the Villanova campus before he got out of there?
At least.
610-632 0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Oh, you know what that means? I walk into that. I've gotten new energy for this. I was really low last week for the picks segment, and it's time for our picks. And that's brought to us by the new Cuzzo Sports Trivia app. That's right. Test your fandom, play your friends, get to the top of the leaderboard for a chance to win $1,000. Download the fun and free Cuzzo, C-U-Z-Z-O. Yes, Anthony's app. It's the Cuzzo Sports Trivia app. Start playing today. All right, Brian, you ready? There's a reason why, like, last week was an all-time low for me. Two bad beats. At Cleveland, Chubb goes out of bounds. At Arizona, no PAT. And then I suffered through Penn State. So another horrendous week for me. However, I am coming back. I am not going to quit. I'm coming back undaunted this week. So I'll let you go first.
Again, I am so happy that you are the one picking these games because I know you're not very good at it.
Well, this year, you're right. I got nothing. But you know, I could have quit. But I say I got a Tyrone's, but a lot better than me. I was going to retire and give it to him. But I got to go one more way. I just can't give up. It's not in my nature.
So that's what I like about you. Yes. Keep fighting. But here we are. There are some tense times where the line moves a bunch, and you got to believe it. Then you get the line moves in these situations, like I'm about to line up for you today, and I just don't believe it. First game, we're headed down to Baltimore, the Tennessee Titans. You know what? I just don't understand. The Baltimore Ravens have not played very well this season, and Lamar Jackson is certainly limited. The game opened at with Baltimore favored by 7. It's now down to 5.5. I'm going to take the Tennessee Titans to win this thing outright.
Oh! The Titans go to Baltimore and win it outright.
Outright!
Those 5-point lines are a little hairy, so you might be in safe territory with that.
I like it a lot. The next game is out in Indianapolis. The Green Bay Packers are visiting. And again, we got another line that's moving around just a little bit. This started as Green Bay favored by 2.5. Now it's flipped all the way to the Colts favored by either 1.5 or 2 points. They got this thing wrong. Green Bay is in a roll right now. Aaron Rodgers is finding Valdez Scantling. He's finding Davante Adams. The Green Bay Packers go into Indy on the road. Another road team winning it outright.
The Packers plus 1.5 win another outright. Yeah, that is
outright.
You're going completely against the Missinelli line theory. But that's all right. Completely. All right, because I'm going head-to-head with you. Go ahead. Here, what's your last one?
Well, here's the thing. The Missinelli line theory has absolutely led you to where you are
now.
No. So I have to go opposite.
No, here's the thing. I haven't adhered to it. Now I'm going straight Missinelli line theory.
Okay. And this is one of the games I hated to pick because I hate waiting to Monday night to text you and gloat. But I had to go with this line right here. The L.A. Rams are visiting the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Bucks are favored by 4. I think the Rams win that game again, outright, on the road. So 3 road teams winning outright this week.
Wow. The Rams flying across the country again. And you're going with 3 people getting points to go outright on all 3?
That's right.
All right. We'll see. I think this might be, you might hit a wall this week. All right, here's where I'm going. I'm going to start with a college game. It's not Penn State. It is the Big Ten, though. Because this is the line that's screaming at me, and I got to go back to basics. If the line's talking to me, I got to go. I hate to do this to Tyrone and all the Rutgers fans out there and his new buddy, Greg Schiano. But Michigan, a team that stinks, are favored by 11.5, and it's going up. Michigan must be ready to bust them. So I'm going to take the Wolverines here. Now I'm going to go.
I'm not upset about it. Even the line.
It's hard to believe the line.
It doesn't make any sense. You're right.
All right. The Colts doesn't make any sense to me either. You're right. The Packers were favored. Boom. All of a sudden, the Colts are favored. That tells me the Missinelli line theory goes, take the Colts in this game. That's screaming at me. I'll go head to head with you. I'll take the Colts over the Packers.
That's a mistake.
Now I'm going, I can't believe I'm even going here. It's a crap game. I should be ashamed of myself. But I see some value in this. Because the Washington football team is favored. When do you get that? Only 1.5, I get it. But I think the Washington football team wins at home against the 2-6-1 Bengals. I'll take Washington given 1.5.
I like that. That's
3 favorites given. You're gone with 3 dogs getting.
That's right.
Ultimate head-to-head.
Feels good, too.
Yeah. All right. That's Mike and Brian Westbrook's picks. brought to us by the new Cuzzo Sports Trivia app. Text your fandom, play your friends, get to the top of the leaderboard for a chance to win $1,000. Download the fun and free Cuzzo Sports Trivia app today. Start playing. Back to the phones. Troy, Northeast Philly. What's up, Troy?
Mike, what's going on, guys?
How are
Brian,
you?
It's an honor to talk with you, man. I wish I got on last week, man, to get a chance to try to win that football. But it's cool. You know, I still love you. One of my favorite running backs for Eagle history. I actually grew up about 60 miles from you, man, in OE Mills. So
listen, man, okay. I can get you Paul Iverson signed basketball instead.
Y'all got jokes. Y'all got jokes. He ain't right, Mike. But listen, what I wanted to ask you, B-West, because you're a running back and, you know, you're a hell of a running back. I wanted to ask your opinion on this. You know, Howie went into the season, so did Doug, some degree, knowing that they was going to need a running back. They had multiple opportunities to get people. They passed up on Bell, Freeman, Fournette, even Shady. And now they bring back Howard, who they cut already, and they're going to use him. What do you think? What's your thoughts on this, man? You think they're just trying to save money, or what do you think is going on in the organization? Is this 2026?
Yeah, Howard, by the way, is just on the practice squad. But, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. He was available, and you add some depth, right?
Yeah, you go get Jordan Howard to add some depth. But I think they came into the year specifically thinking that Miles Sanders would be healthy and be able to carry the load. Now, he's only played 6 games this season, but they thought he was going to be able to carry the load in the run game as well as the pass game. And when he's been healthy, he's ran the ball very well, averaging 6 yards a carry on his runs. I think he can do much better, much more in the pass game if he can focus on that a little bit more. But I think Boston Scott, certainly you saw the big run he had last week. He also played well in the 2 games or prior to that. He's good enough to be a secondary running back. But here's the deal. You got to be able to run the ball. You got to want to run the ball. You got to commit to run it. And we're not 100% sure that Doug is willing to commit to that quite yet. But I'm not in a situation where I'm saying, man, because we didn't have another running back besides Miles and Boston Scott, we're losing football games. I don't think that's the case. I think if you use Sanders as well as Boston Scott correctly, then you're good enough at the running back position right now. And even if you add Jordan Howard in there, you're still good enough at the running back position. That's not the reason why you're losing football games. Partly you're losing football games because there hasn't been enough commitment to the run game. And I'm talking about when you're rushing the ball for 6 yards a carry, you better try to find a way to get to 30, 35 carries because they can't stop the run. If you're allowing 6 yards a carry, that's what I would do.
So you think those two were enough in the master plan?
I think that if you use them correctly, those two were enough. I've seen things out of Boston Scott that shows me he can be a quality reserve running back. And I think Miles Sanders, when healthy, we saw what he can do when healthy. I mean, he looked good last week. I text you about his ball security.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit concerned about that. But I thought he looked explosive. He was getting in and out of his cuts. He looked quick. He had good vision. Now, he dropped a couple balls.
I mean, that's a major thing, I think, if you can't get your running backs to catch a ball in the backfield. I guess Scott's okay at it. But you know, you look at Miles Sanders, you're not seeing a guy who can catch that ball out of the backfield right now, are you?
No, I'm not. I haven't. I mean, he drops too many balls. I mean, these are easy passes. These are not even contested catches on, like, checkdowns that he's dropping. I'm a little confused as to why he's dropping those footballs, to be honest with you, Mike.
All right, let's go Matt and Pittman. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Guys, I'm gonna go completely opposite. I hate this team. I hate everything about this team. Because here's the deal. And you asked earlier, why is nobody calling about the Eagles? It's because the world is awful right now. And what we have is a team who, at the end of the day, we know isn't going to win what we really want to celebrate. So, and here's what I think they both, this team has exactly in common what the Sixers had last year. The lack of identity at all. And what that tells me is that their coach is failing. When your team does not have an identity, it's because of the coach. And unfortunately, we're in the same exact scenario. It was a dying ship. It was a sinking ship with the Sixers. We knew how it was going to end, and it ended. And since then, they've had to put this thing all back together with new people. And it's the same exact scenario with this team. And they're just coming off the Super Bowl 3 years ago. That's the only difference. That's the only reason that they're getting the benefit of the doubt. Because right now, you see a team that is not coached. Because at the very top down, And all the decisions don't make any sense. And that's why I'm so frustrated. I hope that makes some sense.
I agree with you 100%, by the way. Brian?
Well, yeah, I mean, they struggle to have an identity. And maybe that's because the people that are drafting and Doug aren't on the same page. But you have to, I mean, listen, I'm not trying to make excuses for the team. I'm certainly not that guy. But you also have to understand, with all the injuries that they had this season, it's hard to have an identity with the guys that you really want to establish that identity going in and out of the lineup.
Can I add one thing? Doesn't it make
sure?
The other thing is this. With the Sixers, the problem with the coach was that he couldn't reach the best players to get them to do exactly what their strengths were. It's like the coach has to save the best players in Simmons and Embiid's case from themselves because they don't know what they don't know. And it's the same exact scenario here that Carson Wentz doesn't know what he doesn't know and nobody can reach him. So we can talk about injuries all we want. Every single team in the league is dealing with injuries. And whenever you have a lot of them, the chances of you winning aren't good. The bottom line is even the coaching is not getting through to the best players who are healthy. So that is right there. It tells me all I need to know and probably why most people are checked out, because we're smart in this town and we can kind of see through it all. We know what the problem is. We're just waiting for the fixes to come.
Matt, I agree with Matt. I think there's been a serious disconnect with this coach. I've never really been that much of a fan of his football intellect. And I think this year that has really shown up. I just can't understand some of the things he does. I think he's a fly-by-night type of guy who pushes buttons rather than having an idea about what he wants to do, and I think that's hurt this team this year.
But Mike, that works in certain situations when you are healthy and you're getting some great play from the important positions, quarterback, defensive line, you know, all those positions that we're talking about. I'm talking about getting turnovers on the defense. That makes your defensive coordinator look well. You're getting big plays, splash plays from your quarterback, your wide receiver, some of your running back. That makes your offensive coordinator, your play caller, your head coach look a lot better. You're not getting any of those things at this point. And, yeah, a lot of it is Doug's fault. Some of it's Carson's fault. Some of it's the injury's fault. There's a lot of blame to go around from this football team. But, you know, to put it all at Doug's feet, I don't think that's
I get
right
you. I'm not absolving quarterback at all here. What I'm saying is this quarterback is not the same. For whatever reason it is. So, therefore, he's not capable of a straight drop-back game plan to beat a team. So, what you have to do as a savvy coach is you got to figure out to do different things. Get him out of the pocket. Get him running a little bit. Get him spiced up. Get his mind excited to make a play. And, like, they didn't do that at all until the second half, where it's painfully obvious that he could be a better player if you just try to accommodate him a little better, because he's not a good player the way you want him to play.
Well, I do agree with you that if you get Carson out, and I mention it all the time, he's one of these guys where when he gets hit in the mouth, he plays harder. That's the type of game that he wants to play. And so, yeah, you got to roll him out a little bit and even get him dirty, meaning some of the, you know, run plays and things like that, just to get his juices flowing. Absolutely. I have no problem doing that. And that's something Doug has to, you know, do a much better job of calling some of those plays. You know, there's a point where every coach, every play caller goes to the quarterback and says, what do you like? And I have to be crazy to think that Doug hasn't done that. And so now I'm thinking, okay, either Doug has called those plays and they haven't worked, or Doug doesn't trust Carson enough to listen to anything that he's saying. Because Doug has had to have gone to Carson and say, okay, what are the things that you like? We're going to call some of those plays. And unfortunately, we still haven't seen those big plays that we need to make an offense roll up and down the field the way that we're trying to look for here in Philadelphia.
All right, we'll take a quick break. This is a quick one. We'll be back. Brian Westbrook, he's here till 5. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be faking me. What is the hell are you doing?
You gotta be.
time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Keep going.
Sound off. All right, time for Sound Off. We wrap up the week. The Sound Off Live for the weekend for you guys to start calling it at 4 p.m. on Sunday with outrageous anger. It's 610-771-9705. Let's see what we have to wrap up the week.
As Eagles fans, we've spoken on the success of rookie star players such as Metcalf and Jefferson, which we know the Eagles passed on both. We must admit, though, we were not the only team to pass on Metcalf, which I think is pretty crazy. But with that being said, the Eagles personnel is not the best at drafting talent, and not sure they would know what to do with that talent.
Yeah, well, you know, I watched Metcalf last night, and what was it like for a defensive back trying to cover that dude? Like, he's just muscled up and just outrageous.
And fast.
Attitude and fast. Like, what do you do with him?
He's feel pain.
Last year's Sixers season was the most frustrating season of my life. They finished the sixth seed. Maury brings in Danny Green and Seth Curry, and we act like everything's fixed. It's delusional. Vegas still has them the sixth seed. They need to make a big move.
Yeah, they're the five right now in Vegas. But I don't think anybody's saying they're going to win anything. Listen, what we say yesterday, did we get carried away? We said they added stuff they didn't have last year. They got rid of a bad contract and they needed to do. They added shooting to increase their spacing offensively. I'm not saying they're winning the NBA title. And they may have a big deal still to come.
You call Giuliani a chooch? He's worse than that. With that hair dripping down with the dork. What the dork? Oh, my God.
No, he called Scott Atlas. The doctor who has what kind of the doctor is he?
He's not an epidemiologist.
He's just a doctor of some sort.
Yeah, but he's the head of the COVID thing. Although they did they met and he task force met and he wasn't there.
Yeah. So Chris Cuomo called him a chooch, Scott Atlas, and the Italian American household chooch is a word your parents used to use for jackass or pain in the ass. They had chooch.
Anna Horford, or whatever your name is, there are Boston people we accept here in Philadelphia. In fact, the most famous Philadelphian ever was a Boston man, Ben Franklin. For the words of Ben Franklin, I would like to say to you, go coitus yourself.
Mildly amusing.
Feels all right.
Yeah, this sourpuss named Nancy that called yesterday and insulted everybody. You know, really, she could make a bag of onions cry.
Well, you don't know what Nancy looks like. What did Nancy say about us yesterday? She said we all looked a mess.
Yeah, she looked like hot messes, didn't she?
And the Sixers were also a hot mess.
I took that to heart. I thought about it. On the way out, I saw Wilbon, and I was reeling off the Nancy call. And I go, I'm going to step it up a little bit. So well, I got the coat on today.
I'm sure
you guys said, screw.
Man, it's freezing in here.
I'm not in a parka. That's why I've had to mix it up with the winter jackets this week.
It's ridiculous in here.
I have to say that they're terrible habitable conditions in that booth. I'm in a booth that has a thermostat, so I'm fine. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, so, if anybody was wondering, that's why we're wearing jackets every day. Scarves.
Yeah, because it's freezing.
There you go, Nance.
Since Mike, Tyrone, and Natalie can't say this, I will do it for them. Nancy from Bucks County, who went to school with Mike, who called up to just let them all know how terrible they look. Based on your voice, like, what, are you living off a Pall Mall drip? My God.
Oh.
Hey, Pall Mall, that's one of the brands in Goodfellas that coming out of the truck.
See?
Nancy said she didn't go to school with me because she went to different schools, though. But she said that she was at parties with me. And who knows? who knows back then? Could have been. All right, now.
Yeah, he probably didn't give her a second look.
Yeah, I don't know.
But she looked a hot mess.
Could have been a make-out car situation. Who knows
back then?
I am not an idiot. I am not an idiot. I am not an idiot. As you guys well know from last week, I believe that this is one of those weeks where we're feeling good and we're thinking, they're going to go into Cleveland. They're going to win the game. And it's going to be another lackluster performance from Doug, from Carson, from the defense. And I just think they lose another game that they should win. I think they lose it in a bad fashion.
Well, I'm not feeling good about it either. But like I say, I have no idea. So I'm bailing out. I don't even make a prediction on this.
You know, if we must have an Eagles Super Bowl statue outside the stadium, it should be the Brandon Graham strip sack. That was the big play of the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I agree with that.
But you know, the Philly thing connects Philly, you know? Like, that's why the statue is there. Well, I get it. It was a key
play. Because the beer company did it. And yeah, they started doing Philly beer.
Yeah, but it works on those levels. Philly. Forever it'll be Philly. And everybody's going to refer to it on TV when a highlight is Philly. So it has that kind of effect. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of summer. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
All righty, Draftline shows up next with Jamie Lynch, Devon Gibbons, brought to us by DraftKings. All right, I'll throw a score out there. I'm going to go Cleveland 24, Eagles 20. And the way I'm going is probably going to be backwards, and we're going to be happy the Eagles won. All right, stay tuned for Chocolate Thunder. The story of Daryl Dawkins is on NBC Sports Philly following the show. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe. We'll talk to you Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.